As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
This hour is brought to you by JulieBeforeYouDig.com.
Trying to go for the best player that we can get. And you always want to be in that position. That's something that I've kind of learned about and hearing from the vets and things like that. And, you know, just been around this past year. You know, when you draft and be in those positions, you want to be in position to get the best player. And I think right now we're in position to be able to just, you know, get the best guy that we think is needed for the team. And I don't know what the needs are. Y'all probably have a better idea than me, but I think, you know, the group we have right now is amazing.
The Score Midday Show, 10 to 2 on 670 The Score.
Oh, Caleb Williams, I see what you did there.
He knows what the needs are.
Yeah, that was such a little, like, shake and bake move. He's like, oh, you guys know better than me. Wink, smile.
That's above my pay grade. Although he gets paid a lot, so I don't know if it's technically above his pay grade.
I do want to ask him how is Denmark? You know, how did you like your off season? And, you know, I'm sorry that you had to be at the Bulls game with the biggest highlight for the team the other night with your throw into the stands.
That's tough. That's a tough scene.
We didn't even talk about Ben Johnson throwing out the first pitch of the Cubs game.
Good form.
Yeah, man. Looked like a former pitcher out there.
Little duck out of the strike zone at the end of the swing.
Stretch? Like, woof. Wind up.
That ball dropped. I mean, he threw, like, that ball, that had spin on it.
Yes.
Oh, it had break. Yeah,
yes,
there was a whole break.
The pitch ducked out of the zone. It looked like a strike, and it was like, ha-ha. But also, didn't stick around for the seventh inning stretch, which tells me that man got back to House Hall quick.
Or perhaps he didn't want to subject himself to singing on a PA. That's not easy. You hear yourself echo and all that too.
I'd bring the earplugs.
Yeah.
I'd be ready to go.
I don't envy Ben Johnson when it comes to that situation. Yes, Ray?
We did get a professional evaluation of Ben Johnson throwing out the first pitch. We'll hear that later in the hour.
Ooh, that is quite the tease.
Okay.
I love it. Producing on the fly, as we like to call it. We do that all the time here on the Midday Show on The Score. You are a part of our process, whether or not you like it. Which leads me to my next point. As we're sitting here talking in our pre-show meeting, and we like to start a little earlier because sometimes you want to talk things out. You want to walk into a thought or two. I had listened to a very good interview with David Silverston of Our Lads on with Molly and Haw earlier today. That was at 7:25. So if you go to the Rewind feature on the Odyssey app, you can check out the chapters on Molly and Haw, and you can click on it and you can hear it for yourself. He talked about, again, the same concept that we've discussed. A lot of the overall thought on the draft from some of the best analysts is that there's really only a few, 3, 5, 6, whatever you may think, blue chip players. Guys where you're saying to yourself, this is a guy who we know is going to succeed in the league, no questions or very few. I feel like last season there were more than 10. You know, that's why the Bears were able to draft Roma Dunze and Caleb Williams and feel very confident at 10 with Roma Dunze, or 9 with Roma Dunze at the time, and know that there were other people equally talented that they could have drafted in that spot. Well, he let it slip. and it wasn't so much an admission, but an acknowledgement about the argument that we always say every year about the draft. Position of need versus position available.
The goal of the Bears heading into this offseason was to fill the holes so that they can go into this draft with the mindset of, hey, we can go play a game tomorrow with a full-bore starting lineup. Mission accomplished, because the holes on the offensive line, the defensive line, they've been plugged. They can truly go into this draft class and say, hey, let's get truly the best player available. Yes, we all know that's a line that everyone uses this time of year. We also know that it's garbage in most cases. Teams draft for need. Right now, I'm looking at the Bears' depth chart on our lads, and we have orange for every free agent signing they've had. And we have six starters added to this team via free agency. And now this opens the door to going into draft weekend. I'm telling you guys this right now. Somebody really good is going to fall into their lap at 10, and they don't need to think twice about taking him. You go the Ravens route here and just take him. Bring him to your team, even if you don't see a week one starting lineup usage for him. Get the best player. That's how you build a sustainable winner.
Thank you. Thank you for saying what I think should be fairly obvious, especially this year, where if you have 5 through 50 are all of similar talent level.
Similar grade.
Why would you not draft for what you need?
I think the way I look at it is when people say best player available, the best player available to me may not be the same best player available to you.
That's where the details are.
And so that's where I think the need thing comes into focus, even without being on purpose. It's right now we're in an interesting position because what we've said about what's happened leading up to the draft, oh, now the Bears can really draft whatever. There's so many different areas. And you could say that's because they addressed so many things through trade and free agency. I would argue they just need a lot of help a lot of places because they're not a good football team.
Right, but if you're the Bears and the wide receiver is best available at 10, you're not taking him.
Is there even a wide receiver that would fit in that area based on what we've heard from all the draft experts?
No,
so I think that's off the table anyway.
That's my point, though, is they don't need to draft a wide receiver at 10. That would be unnecessary use of the draft pick.
Well, they don't need to draft a running back, but I guarantee you if Ashton Dente is there at 10, he's getting drafted.
And that's kind of my point, is this truly actually is an outlier argument.
Okay.
When it comes to offensive linemen, if Will Campbell's not there, Armon Membu is the next man up. And that position specifically is one you draft for need because it's so ridiculously difficult to get somebody in the open market. They don't hit free agency for a reason, these types of guys.
Yeah, I think
especially tackle.
The offensive lineman thing is real, especially tackle, where, hey, if he's that good, guess what? We're going to franchise tag him if we can't get something worked out immediately.
And if so, you're still getting paid bank because it's the average based on position pay.
And we'll do it again.
Right, and that's also my point. And it's starting to become that way on the defensive line as well.
Yeah, I think more people are willing to admit, even if they didn't before, that the trenches, you have to build from there because you've seen what the blueprint looks like from teams such as the Philadelphia Eagles and other teams, too, who have been good. And when teams have fallen off, it's because they weren't good enough up front.
And I do think that even the running back discussion is so key here because we know how good the running back class is. You know, we know how deep that class is this year, where there can be very quality people available in the second round to you.
Marshall Harris, Layla Rahimi, hanging out with you here on it's Monday, right? We just got this thing started.
I think it is Monday.
It's NFL draft week here on Scores Midday. Listen, here's what I want to ask you. If Ashton Jeanty is available at 10 and Tyler Warren was somehow available at 10, is that a hard decision for you, or you just give me Jeanty, let's keep it moving?
Yeah, then I think it is you take the best player available.
Because that's assuming, I guess, tackles are off the board. That's why these guys have fallen to you.
Right. You know it is an if this, then this happens.
Right.
If Will Campbell is gone, there's a good chance Warren or perhaps Jeanty. Like PFF, for example, we had Trevor Sikkema on earlier. PFF has Jeanty going down late. like I want to say 12. And I was shocked when I read it because I was like, well, I am not used to seeing a number like that next to that man's name.
But PFF, they also had the Bears taking a tackle, right? So,
and they have some ideas like that. Like PFF doesn't always go with the grain. We know that. But that's kind of the point here. It's that you're still drafting on what you need, essentially. And I appreciated that. In fact, we had Trevor Sikkema on in the last hour, and I asked him about this because it was the topic that I was on the top of my mind.
Yeah, I think that every team's formula is a little bit different. They would obviously all love to tell you, oh yeah, we're playing best player available, whoever's coming to our board, that's what we're going to do. But it's always a mix of both. You know, whether teams want to admit it or not, it's very rare that teams go just true best player available. Because a lot of times, okay, this might be the best player available on their board, but they might have built their board with their needs in mind, right? So I don't think it's ever. I think a lot of fans just go, oh, just go best player available no matter what. Obviously, you want to be able to do that and get the most out of these talents. But I do think that need is always built into it. So you bring up a good point. If that is the case, I think you will see teams drafting a little bit more for need because that difference of, well, this guy's still on the board and he's our best player available, the gap in talent between that player and somebody else might not be that wide. Again, once we get outside of Hunter, Carter, and Genty, I think you can make a case for so many of these other players. And so I think that you are correct that we will see a lot more teams draft for need, if you will, because the gap isn't going to be that large between who might be on the board and who might help them out specifically in a certain roster spot.
Was it a potentially leading question, perhaps?
Definitely a leading question. But also, like the point that he made there was talking about how the need is, in fact, most times either consciously or subconsciously based in, it's built into your big board. It's built into who you think is better.
You're not going to focus on a position that is not of top priority to you.
So I don't know where the Bears have, and the best part about Lion season is you never really get the truth, because the further down in the draft you are, the more what-if scenarios that can pop up, and they'll never tell you where they really had someone. They'll just tell you, hey, this was the best player available, and we took him, even if it isn't.
Yeah, you're not throwing somebody under the bus. You're not like, well, we really like this guy, but he was gone. So no. And I think a lot of people know that. Like, we know that players know when they're drafted what the deal is, too. You know, that's part of this as well.
I think fans are as well-informed and smarter, even in spite of the meatballness of it all, than they've ever been before, because there's so much tape out there that anyone can watch. There's so many expert opinions that you have access to. All of that stuff comes into factor when we're talking about this specifically, because if you're a Bears fan or fan of all these other teams, you understand how valuable offensive linemen are. I think there was a point in time where I was like, why does everybody treat the NFL draft like it's a fantasy draft? Where obviously skill players are premium.
Because they're used to doing fantasy drafts.
They're used to doing fantasy drafts. I get it. But I think we've gotten to a point now where everyone can be like, hey, I love how good this receiver or this running back is, but in reality, we need help in the trenches, offensive line, defensive line.
Respectfully, the general manager has also treated this a bit like a fantasy draft.
The Roma Dunze, knowing what we know now, or just knowing what we know,
but in, he's in previous a good drafts. Example. You could 100% argue he was the best player available. 100%.
But need is need.
But did it really fit your need when Olufoshanu was available?
Well, you thought Nate Davis was available too, but he wasn't.
But that's it. That therein lies the discussion. And we'll do it every year. But the point is this the best year to show you that maybe that is indeed not the case? This continues tonight on The Score. Tune in at 6 p.m. for The Score's draft preview show. That is hosted by one Mark Grote. You know him on this show as Mark Grote and Anthony Herron. What will the Bears do at 10th overall? Who should they target throughout the draft? You heard what we had to say. The guys will dissect it all from 6 to 9 tonight right here on The Score and the Odyssey app. I go back to with trading picks. If you know that all of the picks from, say, 7 through 50 have relative equal value, why wouldn't that stop people from trying to move up and down as they need?
One word, quarterback. That's the biggest reason. if you need a quarterback, you get scared other people might take the quarterback you want. So you just find that slide like, oh, that team's probably looking at a quarterback. We need to jump ahead of them to take the quarterback. Other than that, I don't really know. I don't expect to see anyone making big trades, well, in general, early. But specifically, unless you're looking for a quarterback, why else would you trade up in this particular draft, knowing that your position, if you have a position in the teens or the 20s, you can find the best player available or the best player available based on your need?
Why do I feel like this is going to come down to Shedeur Sanders and Jackson Dart and how much one team loves them?
Yes.
Or
no, both.
Or one. Yeah, it really can come down to that. We won't find that out, but it's going to come down to how much love one particular team has.
So we'll find that out draft night. I mean, I saw some drafts where they're predicting Sanders in the 20s, whichever pick the Pittsburgh Steelers have, because, you know, they have a quarterback quandary right now.
Not according to Joe Cowley.
Well, Joe Cowley might be a bit biased.
The standard is playing quarterback in Pittsburgh.
Notice I included
the standard never makes an incompletion.
I included the word the letter I in that word bias, because if you take that out, it becomes a completely different definition when describing
bass.
Him. Well, based, but yes, close enough. Close enough. But no, seriously, when I look at the draft, and again, this is why I started this show saying I'm very excited about Thursday's draft, and I usually don't get that excited about the NFL draft because it's sort of ho-hum. There's so many possibilities with this team and this draft based on the depth available and having three of the top 40-plus picks. That in and of itself, and to see how Ryan Poles maneuvers maybe differently than what we've seen in the past.
Right, and again, what did you and I both do when we broke those down? We named the positions that we think they should take.
Offensive line, defensive line, safety, tight end.
Nowhere in there did I hear punter. Oh, or wow. Linebacker.
Three punters in four years, that would be extreme. Almost as extreme as, well, two punters in 3 years.
Best player available. But I will say this. If linebacker is part of that four, I'm not upset about that either. You know, Tremaine Edmonds is in a contract year at the end of the season. He might be gone. So you do need to build depth both in your linebacking core and somewhat in your secondary, just because unfortunately Jaquan Brisker's health is still a concern.
If they have a shutdown corner, I'm not opposed to that, or a versatile shutdown DB of any nature. I'm not opposed to that either. Somebody can play both safety and corner. I'm gonna let Dennis Allen cook.
It's definitely running a 4-2-5 then, right? Which is what they did last year for the most part.
I'm good with what happens as long as you're not giving up either of those second and third picks to move up, unless you're getting Abdul Carter.
But, like, I know who's four in the secondary. So, okay, maybe one is different, right?
Perhaps. This is why it's fun. You get to figure out what it is as we get closer, and everybody's going to have evolving opinions, although it seems like some of the evolution has come to a ceasefire.
What it is? What's up?
Oh. I like that.
We can't sing the rest of that song.
Can we go with the lyrics? I mean,
we cannot.
I don't know if that's FCC approved.
You know who else is rarely FCC approved? I'm kidding. But she lives dangerously.
She's not PG-13.
Trista Crick, host of the NBA podcast, The Heat Check with Trista Crick. Next to talk more NBA. That playoff set yesterday was very interesting. It told a lot of truth. So we'll have some fun with the NBA next with Trista on The Score.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
And now it's time for Trista Crick.
Because the Bulls are still wanting to compete.
I was like, compete for what?
The Bulls are like that friend that you know that has zero desire to elevate in their job.
On Sports Radio 670 The Score, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
What the f***?
Oh, appropriate music for Trista Crick, who would also appreciate that Marshall and I were talking about the song Some Cut in the break.
What song is this? I don't recognize this tune. What is this? What
you
is
don't?
This from?
Come on.
Is this from my youth?
Trista, do you need to let him know?
Come on, don't do this. Don't act brand new, Marshall. I see what you're doing.
I'm just a quiet
this is like
guy.
Off the air kind of conversation. Marshall's pretending like, what? I don't know. What are you talking about?
Sometimes it'd be like that, Trista.
Hilarious.
I just want to fade to the bushes like Homer Simpson. That's my new move.
Uh-huh. Wait, I have to explain where you're coming from. She's on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today. Let's also give Trista her credit. She is the host of the NBA podcast, The Heat, with Trista Crick. You can find her on X at Trista_Crick. And I feel like last week you were just cooking on everything. WNBA draft, the bull season ending thoughts, the play-in games as a whole.
Real life heat check.
Yeah, there was a lot going on your mind, I feel like, last week specifically.
Yeah, man, there's a lot going on around the basketball world. And you guys played that clip of me saying that the Bulls were that friend that really never wants to elevate in their job. They just want to stay like below management and just kind of like fade into the background and hope nobody notices that they're just kind of doing doing the bare minimum. And that was over a year ago that comment was made. That is evergreen. That comment could have been made yesterday.
You're saying nothing's changed, Trista? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I mean, it's getting a little bit more toxic, I think. AK, Arturis Karnisovas, fired Peter Patton the other day, and players are upset about that. He's the conditioning coach. He was with the Mavs. I think he was with another team right before that, but he was with that Mavs team that ended up going to the Western Conference Finals. And I think AK as a whole, which I kind of knew this just based on logic and feel, doesn't like it when people tell him, hey, I don't agree with how you're building this roster, and wants people's opinions only when they line up with his, which leads us to exactly, you know, where we are right this second, which is a 500, one game over, one game under, depending on the time frame, team, which pisses me off.
Time is a flat circle. You're not even a Bulls fan, and it pisses you off. That's what's hilarious about this.
Yeah, and the decisions just continue to make no damn sense, right? And I'm looking towards the draft, and we've been talking about this all season and even last offseason, Marshall, and I'm wondering what you're even going to get in this draft. You've got Maluak, the 7-footer. He's being mocked around that area. But we don't even know if he's going to play in the United States because South Sudan's on the terror watch list right now.
Yeah.
I could see the Bulls drafting Maluak and never seeing him play in a Bulls uniform.
Don't wish that upon us.
That is such a plot that you just threw out there. And you know what's funny is I've also thought about the South Sudanese thing too, because Luol Deng is an executive for that team. Royal Ivy's a big part of it. Like there's a lot there that I think actually stands to be discussed in a separate plot line here. But you just touched on so many things when it comes to differentiating opinions, for example, potentially, you know, when it comes to how the direction might go in the draft where they regained that pick, you know, the emotions that followed even after the performance against the Heat. I want to start maybe there because I said to Marshall before the show, if there was ever a indicator of what you're seeing when it came to how the Bulls lost to the Heat in the one and only play-in game they were afforded, then you see the Heat win to advance, only to have that result against the Cavaliers. Like, how do you compare and contrast the levels of play you saw even in those three games that took place from Wednesday to yesterday?
Yeah, it's a great point because ultimately the Heat and the Bulls have really no ability to do anything competitive in the playoffs at all, especially when you're going to play the Celtics or the Cavs. So you're fighting to get in, and you've got some moments, and you're obviously making some revenue because you now, as a Heat fan or as a Heat front office member you're feeling good, at least the ownership group, oh, we're going to get some home games. We're going to be able to, like, sell some tickets, get some revenue. But truthfully, I trust the Heat more to be at, you know, the mid-lottery and make a decision that helps their team right away. For example, Khalil Ware. For example, Jaime Jaquez. Then I do the Bulls. It feels like outside of Matas, because I think he fell to the Bulls, didn't really think that he was going to be there, and you've got that Chicago connection. So it was kind of like a no-brainer, couldn't mess it up. And he's outperformed where I think people thought he would be. So he's a stud. So outside of that, I've been pretty suspicious and dubious about this organization's ability to take not home run players. So if you're not really able to select or scout or develop, then you need guys that are going to step in and you can't F it up at all. The Dylan Harpers of the world, the Cooper Flags of the world. And even if you tank, there's no guarantee you're going to get a Cooper Flag. But when the Bulls made the trade to get their own pick back, I was like, wow. They really are going to do it again. They're going to find a way to be in the play-in again and have the 13th or 14th pick. Then if you wouldn't have had your own pick, you would have at least had top 10. And you would have had to commit to one lane. And instead, we had the same old thing, which is like, oh, well, we're just 14th and 15th in the draft now. And we know as NBA fans, you will never succeed as an organization drafting right there throughout the course of your tenure as a decision maker and as a franchise. There's just no possible way that you can rebuild that way.
Trista, there's a couple of things that I look at here, and people are asking, where do they go from here? And I'm like, I have suggestions, none of which AK will listen to me on, but my main thing is actually tank. And by actually tank, what I mean is you don't have to necessarily, you know, say we're not going to play well. You just play players who you know aren't good enough. Patrick Williams needs to be out here playing. And if you get lucky and he actually improves, guess what? Now maybe you can move him. That's one thing. That's like, let's start there, okay? Because right now that albatross of a five-year deal for $90 million is really killing their ability to be flexible in years to come, especially because of the way the NBA and the salary cap works and the sack and apron, all of that stuff in combined. The other thing is trade everyone you can trade and get as much draft capital as possible. Because when a quote-unquote superstar or whatever becomes available, you got to have capital in order to go get people. Other teams that you're fighting with at the bottom of the Eastern Conference standings. Because again, it's the bottom of the Eastern Conference standings. I've told anyone who would listen to me at the beginning of the season, they're not bad enough to be one of the bottom five teams in the East because the bottom of the East is horrible. So the first thing they have to do is just start playing their young guys and their guys that aren't that good. And that's how you get out of where you are, which is clearly the middle. And the middle, again, in the NBA is the bottom of the Eastern Conference. You can't get all the way to the bottom because it's that bad.
Yeah, and you look at Kobe White, and I know he's a fan favorite, and his like accolades are Eastern Conference Player of the Month in March, but that kind of tells you what we've got with Kobe White. You're not going to be able to extend him based on how cheap his contract is, so he's probably headed for unrestricted free agency in 2026, so you probably have to trade him. I don't know if he wants to be around this team. I wouldn't if I was him. I was listening to the Arturas press conference that bumped me from last week's appearance. And for him to be like, oh, yeah, we want to lock up Giddy. We want to lock up Kobe White. I feel really good about the direction of this team. Made me so infuriated because Josh Giddy has played well enough where he's going to get overpaid. And you mentioned these albatross contracts and having to have flexibility in order to make good decisions when the opportunity comes available. Say, I don't know, the Milwaukee Bucks look pretty bad right now. What's the chances maybe Giannis wants out? Goes right across from Milwaukee to Chicago. That would be kind of a nice pickup if you had the assets to get him.
The guy who said they should all be playing in major markets, all the foreign players, that guy?
Yeah. Right. Yeah, that guy. That guy feels like he would be a perfect Bull. So I think what they need to do is probably just not be themselves, which is a franchise that's very complacent with continuing to have the status quo in the front office. And, you know, AK says he loves Billy Donovan, who, you know, I don't get that at all. But ultimately, when you look at who they can't, I mean, I don't believe that at all.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I know you're finishing a point, but I did want to ask you about that. So finish the point, but please expand on the other thing you just said.
Yeah, I mean, I just look at the mock draft and what they can do, and it really feels like you're right, Marshall. They have to just trade everyone, trade Vooch. You know, you're probably not getting rid of Patrick Williams, so play him a bajillion minutes. Trade Kobe White, do a sign and trade maybe with Giddey, and go full scorched earth for a draft that next year, by the way, AJ DeBanza is a dog. He is incredible. I just watched him in Portland. He's the one. He's the one.
I've been watching his pockets. That's what I've been watching, because BYU say, come here and get all this money.
Yeah. Okay, so you bring up a good point, though, Trista. Trista Crick, she is the host of the Heat Check podcast. She's at Trista _ Crick on X. Sorry about that. A lot to say, especially when I'm thinking about what you just said, which has been on my mind, is knowing what we know about the reports surrounding Peter Patton's departure. Where does Billy Donovan stand in all of this? What do you think?
I think what you have is a fraternity, and that starts from ownership down, and they all feel like they're on the same quote-unquote page. And that page is, hey, we continue to lead the league in attendance. Like, we continue to sell out games. We continue to, you know, have all this money coming in from TV rights. We've got our own network. And to me, that's like, that's not a page you really want to, like, stake your, you know, plant your flag in the ground on. I even reached out to somebody that I know that is close to the organization, and I was like, I tried to tell you about this team, and their response was, led the league in attendance. And I was like, oh man, I get paid the same if I work in April or June. And I was like, okay, well, wow. If this is what we're doing, everybody's talking about, oh, I get paid the same if I'm working from October to April or October to June. Sir, that's unacceptable.
But it is acceptable for the reasons you just said. Be competitive, which isn't hard in the East to get into play-in territory. Fill up the stands. Compelling, fast-paced basketball. It is entertaining as far as regular season. You go to the game and enjoy it with your friends. We went to games. We enjoyed the games that we went to.
We did enjoy the games.
It's like, it's tough, Chris. Trista, it's tough right now because I'm trying to get everybody on board with what I'm talking about, but really everyone's on board with what they're talking about because they continue to go to games and do all the things.
Well, and what's crazy, and I think what it is a symptom of, is just how bad the situation for Chicago sports fans have been, period, all the sports. And so if the Bulls are the most entertaining product, and I think the Bears will be more entertaining now that you have Ben Johnson, and it probably a different style of play. I think we were excited, you know, once Caleb came to the team, period. But if the Bulls are the most successful team that you have in your city, then they're allowed to just slide. So it is on all of the other franchises to step their games up. And everyone's kind of in collusion with, like, hey, this town kind of gets behind us no matter what we do.
It's an excellent point.
The frustrating thing, though, Trista, and we got to go to a break, is that if they told us in so many words, you know, the code words that you can use for tank, if they had told us trust the process, we would be into it. We'd be like, okay, this is the process. We have time to wait. We'll see what happens, especially because the Bears are getting good. You know, that's the thing. Like, this is a group of fans who will be patient and have been. And, you know, that was part of the discussion as well on Thursday from AK.
Yeah, and I know you guys have to go. What I will say is that an example of that is what you're seeing from the Washington Wizards and the Brooklyn Nets, both two different tanks. But the Brooklyn Nets straight out said it. We're not going to win very many games this year. We're trying to get Cooper Flagg. If you were sitting here with the top, you know, four ability to get the number one overall pick percentage-wise, if you were in that bucket right now and you had an abysmal season, I think fans would be feeling much better today than they are, you know, with the situation that we're in right now.
Agreed. Trista Crick, you're always fun to talk to. We didn't even get to talk WNBA draft. I know you're cooking on that as well.
Yeah. We will return with you to get your thoughts before the WNBA season begins as well.
And during, hopefully.
Yes, I would love that. Thanks, y'all.
We do Thanks, too. Trista. That's Trista Crick. She was on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa app today. She's the host of the NBA podcast, The Heat Check. You know it's good with Trista Crick. We always love to have her on. Now, Ray, you were the one who told me about what we have coming up at 145. Refresh my memory.
It's a professional evaluation of Ben Johnson's first pitch that was so impressive over the weekend at Wrigley Field.
Is it from our guys, the guys? Is it from our Cubs radio crew?
No, it's actually from the person, just the person you'd want to hear from on this topic, the manager of the Cubs.
Wow. Okay, that's even better.
And those two have some similar personality traits. I would like to hear the conclusion of this next on The Score.
For the last 10-plus years, my family and I have been coming up for a Cubs series every summer. And it doesn't take long to realize that this place is special. These people are special.
The Score Midday Show, 10 to 2 on 670 The Score.
I'm still laughing at the last song where I wanted to make the pun so badly, allow her to reintroduce herself. So I'm just going to share that with you, Trista Crick. If you missed it, go back. It's on the Rewind feature on the Odyssey app. Ben Johnson over the weekend, the Bears have been outside. Caleb's at the Bulls game. You know, the Bears are in town.
And the Fire game.
And the Fire game. Yeah, Caleb's supporting everybody.
I saw him leave it at PCA bobblehead.
Exactly.
The Cubs game. Yeah.
Exactly. Caleb is a supporter. You know, he supports all the teams.
And of course, you know, the Chicago Bears coach tour, like that initial tour, you got to get to a Cubs game.
Have to. Also, let's face it, we have pictures of Ben Johnson from previous stops in his life in Cubs jerseys. We know which team he likes. You know, he's probably been thinking about this moment.
And he told us, I love coming to Wrigley Field in the off season and doing my thing.
That he did.
Yeah.
That
so this,
he did.
This all makes sense. And
try
it was
a game. Try a game on the South Side, Ben. It's a lot of fun there. I'm just saying. Kind of the same idea.
Might not see a Chicago dub, but you'll have some good food and some good times with good friends.
And boy, howdy, if Ben Johnson did not look like he had practiced for that moment where he got to throw out the first pitch.
Yeah, he looked like he was ready. He was ready for his moment, his time to shine.
That was a professional delivery, just like everything else he does. Sigh. So who better to talk about it than perhaps his managerial and personality counterpart, if you will, Craig Counsell.
What did you think about Ben Johnson's first pitch?
I thought it was pretty good. I hope he told Brad that was coming, because that was some gas.
Reaction like
he came in the office before the game and met his family. Great, beautiful young family. Feels kind of weird saying that, but and then he's it's all in front of him. That's what's kind of cool, and so that's what you kind of think when meeting him. You know, you're thinking this, you got a great future in front of you, and you got a lot in front of you, and you got challenges in front of you, but you got a lot of fun in front of you. And you know, I know he's already fell in love with the city of Chicago, and looking forward to the draft and getting started. But it was fun meeting his family, and wish him all the best.
I did not expect that to get all introspective.
That's a heartfelt moment right there.
I love the seasons of Craig Counsell, you know, where we get different, like, looks into his personality.
But what's your favorite version of Craig Counsell?
It is definitely what I call PAC, partially annoyed Craig Counsell.
Not to be confused with PCA.
Correct.
Like, that's a bad take.
That is my favorite. Like, there's not even a chance that it's not. But when he gets to say those things, you know, like where he can see somebody on the precipice of something big, I'm like, oh, Craig Counsell, way to put it all together like that.
That's a good take.
I like that we've got these Craig Counsell
there?
Drops.
My favorite is still Lawrence asking him why he changed his number, and he's like, I don't know if you heard, IDK, but we traded for Kyle Tucker. And
Kyle Tucker?
Pretty much in that phrasing.
It's like, the way he said Kyle Tucker.
I need more sarcastic Craig Counsell. Like, I need the entire dry martini.
Okay, extra olives.
whatever makes it absolute. No, that would make it a little more dirty now, wouldn't
it? Oh, yeah, I guess it would.
I need it like incredibly dry. That is the Craig dry martini. I'm here for that version of him. But that it's just awesome. I like hearing people in leadership positions talk about other people in leadership positions in that way.
Craig Council is in first place. I meant to mention that to Trista when she was like, you know, what do they have? The Cubs are out here rolling. They're rolling early. It is early. I will preface, it is early, but the Cubs are indeed rolling. We'll see if they continue to roll after a nice day off in which they get to come back and face the Dodgers for a couple.
I don't know if you're aware of this, but we traded for Kyle Tucker.
Gosh, that was the perfect note of Craig Council. Just the perfect amount of sass, the perfect just delivery. That is the season of Craig Council that I want to live in. It's like eternal spring, right? Some of you like fall, same idea. That is my perfect version of
We're Craig going Council. To at some point, Lila, have to differentiate between what is sarcasm and what is defined as sass. Because the sass has like a negative connotation with it, whereas the sarcasm is like, oh, it's just being sarcastic, a smart aleck, if you will.
In the spirit of my former radio partner, I can tell you that sarcasm is considered more cutting. It has a Latin derivative to cut, so it is a little more vitriolic.
Okay, and the sass is just
fun.
Okay,
snarky yeah. snark.
Party news, the big news.
That's it. That's I need more of that.
I don't know any men who like being called sassy in any which
I didn't
way.
Call him nah, sassy.
I know, but you said he had some sass to it.
I think he's got like snarky snark.
We're living in the final days.
Is that more
days.
Insulting? Would you say like snarky snark and not like just snarky?
Yeah, snark is probably a better descriptor. I'm just saying because people are saying we're in the sassy man apocalypse.
Craig Castle's 100% rolling his eyes at me. And I'm okay with it because I still get entertained.
You know who wouldn't be okay with that? My mom. Don't you cut your eyes. Actually, she wouldn't say anything. I'd probably just get a slight physical altercation in which I am the recipient of unwanted, yeah.
Or you could just hang out with your siblings where you, like all my siblings and I just roll our eyes at each other constantly. It's just equal opportunity.
Yeah, there were also physical altercations.
My brother's
there.
Late dog was always the one with the most side eye. He hated us all.
Yeah.
He just looked at us all with contempt and disgust.
There's always a lot of fix your face in my household.
My brother's dog wouldn't even let us pet him unless he was out of town or not in the house.
What?
Yeah, he didn't like any of us.
It's a well-trained dog. I like the loyalty.
He was awesome, but he hated us, and I just understood that. Two people who don't. The Afternoon Show. Well, maybe they do. I won't speak for them. Spiegel and Holmes next. We transition on the score.
Spiegel and Holmes.